So we thank God for another good morning. God has given us to listen to his word. And indeed, he is our strength. He is our help. He is our redeemer. And I know that God has been speaking to us in various ways throughout this study, throughout this listening to the word of God, throughout these teachings. And I know that it takes the hand of God to hear. And I pray that even as you listen, even as you understand, that it will not just be another hearing, but this is something that shall take root in your life, and that you shall experience not only the Spirit, but also the life of God. You shall experience that the beauty of God is that when he wants to do something with us and through us, is that he gives us the knowledge for it, then he imparts the Spirit for it. So it is the knowledge, it is the wisdom about a matter that comes. At times we might get the impartation, but then we don't know what it is for. But when the Spirit of wisdom comes to bring understanding to what God has revealed, to what God has given, then we walk in the manifestations of what God wants of us. So one of the things that we must keep praying to God is to God to give us that Spirit of wisdom and revelation. That which he has revealed, may he make us know it, you know. May he make us understand that thing that he is working in our lives, because God desires that we be effective kingdom agents for his glory. God has raised you up to be a vessel of honor, to be a child, to be a daughter of the kingdom, that you might make a difference in your generation. In fact, he says, no one lights a lamp and puts it under the bed. You are a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. When you understand that you are a city, then that means that you are a place of refuge. You are an anchor. You are someone that God has been positioning all your life for such a time as this. And he raises the poor from the dust. He raises those who men have forgotten, those who men have ignored, and God will raise you up. Don't look at your present circumstance. Don't see where you are now, but wait in the moment. Be patient. Be patient. God is going to do something amazing in your life, and it just takes a day. It takes a moment. It takes a moment, and God appears. And one day Joseph was in prison. It was just a normal day. He was a prison warden. He was, you know, the head of the prison team. And in that day, or in that night before, Pharaoh has a dream and he needs an interpreter. And his name is mentioned. And in one day he becomes prime minister of Egypt. And in one day he is given chariots. He runs all over Egypt. He's given a wife. In one day, God transforms him and shows him what he has been preparing him all his life. So don't worry if things have taken long. Don't mind it. There are things that God works on in the background. They are like background tasks, and eventually he brings it to the front line. So we're in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, and we have been looking at the whole armor of God, and we've looked at all the various aspects of it. And yesterday we were able to look at the sword of the Spirit. And it's interesting that when you think about it, it says, and take up, Ephesians 6 verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Then it's amazing, because you would expect that sentence ends there, but the sword of the Spirit, from how I see it, it does not end with just the word of God. It continues with prayer, because it says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Maybe let me read in a simpler translation. It says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And then he says, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak it boldly as I ought to speak. Now, one of the things, if you try to look at it in totality, is speaking about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and we're able to see how the Word of God is a double-edged sword, and it comes forth to, it is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, cutting through, piercing through the bone and marrow, joints, and also dividing spirit and soul, and, you know, setting asunder the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. That the Word of God is able to cut through the human spirit and soul, is able to cut through the bones and marrows, is able to cut through the thoughts, discerning. Nothing is hidden before the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God is God Himself. But you see, the Word of God, as you speak it, you're also called to pray it. So now, when you mix the Word of God with prayer in the Spirit, then now you are taking up that sword of the Spirit. Remember now, this is a warfare. Remember, we were told that we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but we are wrestling against principalities and powers and rulers and forces of darkness and spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. So now it is a warfare that we are waging for in the Spirit. Now, beyond just that Word of God that you know you've imbibed in your spirit, that you have meditated on, that you have spoken, that is active, that is going forth to do the work of God, because whatever God has spoken must go forth, then we are also called to pray always with all kinds of prayers and supplication in the Spirit, and being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, the core of the word today is how and what is this to pray always with all kinds of prayers and supplication in the Spirit. You see, often we pray with our understanding, and if you really want to get this definition of what does it mean to pray in the Spirit, then you have to link it up with 1 Corinthians 14. And 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is actually the chapter that speaks a lot about speaking in tongues and praying in tongues, because Paul is able to break it into clear explanation what it means to pray in the Spirit. And maybe let's just jump there. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we'll read from verse 1, and maybe let's read the first 5 verses, and then we'll jump a bit. Now, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, it says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless he interprets, that the church may receive edification. There are 3 things that stand out here. Number one is that speaking in tongues is speaking to God. No one understands you, but in the Spirit you are speaking mysteries. Now, that is trying to say that when we pray in tongues or when we speak in tongues, we are not speaking in a language that human understand. Yes, there is the speaking in tongues that happened on the day of Pentecost, But that was unique for that day. That was where people understood other languages. But then there is still the speaking in tongues, the second aspect of the speaking in tongues, which is speaking in a heavenly language, in a language that no one understands. And that's why the Bible says, when you speak in tongues, you're speaking to God. You're speaking directly to God. No one understands you. Now, when we are praying in tongues, we pray in a language that no one can understand. But the Bible is telling us that we are praying directly to God. Remember, God says God is spirit. Jesus himself said, a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, because God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So there is already, Jesus described, a time will come when we shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. That means that we shall move into the realm where we have access to the Father. Now remember, our Father is spirit, God is spirit. So now when you're going to speak to God in a language that he understands, but you yourself as a man do not understand, when it says no one understands, even you yourself at this point when you're speaking in tongues, you don't understand it. But the Bible says, but in the spirit you speak forth mysteries. Now, that word mysteries there, it was used to describe, it's like when you're brought into a realm or a society, so there are things that are hidden for them. There are things that are based on that society or based on that group that is not exposed to everyone. Now, speaking in tongues is a mystery in that it is not open to the entire world. It is only a mystery that is available to believers. That's why unless you are born again, unless you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you cannot speak in tongues. That means you have not yet been brought into the realm where you can speak with God, where you can talk to God directly in the Spirit. Now, when he's saying pray in the Spirit with all prayer, all kinds of prayers and supplications. Now, it is saying that you have now switched from praying in the language that human beings understand, but you're praying in the language of the Spirit, where you're praying in tongues, and now you've been entered into a mystery, and you're praying directly to God. Now, it also says, the second thing that we see in this first verse, it says that he that speaks in tongues edifies himself. That means edification means building up yourself in the Spirit. Now, in our spirit man, in our outer man, we go to the gym, we build. You know, when you go to the gym, you build your muscles. When you exercise, you stretch, you do this, your body grows. But also, likewise, you remember when God says that the Spirit and, you know, the things in the Spirit are explained by things in the natural. That's why Jesus used parables to teach things in the Spirit. He explained parables to explain mysteries in the Spirit. So the natural world came from the spiritual world. So these two are so connected that so when you see the building up of the body in the natural, when you exercise yourself, likewise, too, also in the spirit, your spirit man, your inner man needs to grow. Think of how they speak about John the Baptist. He was filled with the Spirit from birth, but when he came out, the child grew strong in spirit. He worked strong in spirit. That means it is possible to grow in the spirit. Your spirit man has the capacity to grow. But how do you grow? You grow in the spirit by building up yourself in the spirit by speaking in tongues or by praying in tongues. So when you pray in tongues, you build up yourself. That's why Jude verse 20 says, and building up yourselves in the most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. So now, one of the weapons that God is teaching us that is connected to the sword of the Spirit, as you speak the word of God, then you also pray in the Spirit, then that means you build up yourself in your innermost man. In fact, if you are to look at yourself as a building in the Holy, in the Spirit, then you'll find that each and every day as you pray in tongues, you're adding an extra layer of block, an extra stone. You're growing in your capacity. The reason why we are not doing great things, or the limitation that you have to achieving things that God wants for you, is based on the capacity of your spirit. And that is why Paul says that, I thank God that I pray in tongues more than all of you. In fact, he says that I wish that all of you would speak in tongues. That means that the desire of Paul, and this is the desire of God, because God was writing through Paul, the Holy Spirit was inspiring Paul to write this. The desire of God is that I wish that all of you will speak in tongues. Does that mean that everyone will speak in tongues? No. But it is the desire of God that everyone does. Why? Because speaking in tongues is done by the believer. That means it is done by the will of the believer. Speaking, the Holy Spirit does not possess you. He is not a demon that possesses you, that he takes charge of your vocal cords, that you have no control. No. It is an aspect of the will. Of all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the speaking in tongues is the one that has been given freely to the believer, in which you can exercise it at will. That means as you start to pray, you decide to pray in tongues. And let us see how it becomes an exercise of the will. Let's just go to verse 13 of the same chapter, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 13. It says, therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret, and we'll get back to that. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. Now, this is the definition of praying in the spirit. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. That means when you're praying in the spirit, you're praying in a tongue. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. And the Bible says, but my understanding is unfruitful. So it beats logic when someone tells someone, come and pray in tongues, and then tell us what you have prayed. Already the scripture has told you that person that is praying in tongues is unfruitful. His mind is unfruitful. And I've seen a clip where someone was being brought forward and told he was trying to discredit praying in tongues and being asked to interpret it. The person that is praying in tongues, their understanding is unfruitful. That is why it is a level of faith. Praying in tongues is done in faith. Why? Because you are believing what God has said, that when I pray in tongues, my understanding is unfruitful, but I am praying directly to God. That is why it's a mystery. It's a foolishness to the world, because to the world, they will not make sense. What are you saying? Why are you speaking in a language that you yourself, you don't understand? No one understands you, and you say you're praying in tongues. But when you're doing it, you're doing it with the faith that you're speaking directly to God, and you have the inner witness within you that you're actually praying to God. And actually, God is also hearing you. Now, the Bible says, for if I pray in a tongue, that means you praying, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Then he says, what is the conclusion? Verse 15, I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Now look at that, two aspects. And even the verse 16, it says, others, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen? Now basically saying that you pray with the spirit, but you also pray with the understanding. In fact, he starts with praying in the spirit. That means to Paul, he's saying it's even more important for you when you're praying, first pray in the spirit. The praying in the understanding is the also. He says, I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. So there are two kinds of prayers. You can be praying with the spirit, or you can be praying with the understanding. You can be singing with the spirit, and you can also be singing with the understanding. But the person that is doing it is I will be doing it. But you see, he says that, but now when you're doing it on the pulpit for people, then that is where you now need to ask God to help you interpret. Because now you cannot just come to a service and you start preaching to people in tongues. Now that is where he is calling for order. If you come to the people and you say God has given you a message and you start speaking in tongues, the message to the people, then you must ask God to help you interpret it, Or if there is someone in the congregation who can interpret, you invite them and you say, is there anyone who has an understanding to this? Please come and interpret, because when there is a tongue that is spoken to a people as a message and there is an interpretation, then it is equal to prophecy. That is the place of order. But you see, when you are with yourself, or even when you are praying in a congregation and now everyone is praying in that moment, there is nothing wrong with praying in tongues. Why? Because you're building up yourself in the most holy faith. You are receiving something from God. You are speaking to God. And one of the things that by experience you will learn as you pray in tongues and as you focus on God, your heart is also praying. As you pray in tongues, have the faith within you that you're even asking God for something. Why? Because in that very moment, your spirit is communing with God. Don't just pray in tongues absent-mindedly, but let your heart be communicating what it is that you want God to hear and what it is that you're expecting from God. And the beauty of it is that as you speak to God, God will also be speaking to your inner man, speaking to you directly in your heart. And you will know what God is saying. Why? Because then you are downloading things. And that's why Paul says, I pray in tongues more than all of you. And that is how we see that he was a man of mysteries. He had all these revelations. Why? Because as he prayed in tongues more, God will reveal to him more things. In fact, you know, based on how God reveals to you, there are people who, as they pray in tongues, God opens their eyes, they see visions, you know. There are people who, as they pray in tongues, God starts to speak to their inner man. They hear the inner voice. There are people who, as they pray in tongues, God gives them the knowing of revelation. They know things. They start to understand things. There are people who, as they pray in tongues, God gives them open visions, you know. Or even as they pray in tongues in the night, then as they sleep, God will give them dreams. So when you pray in tongues, you are activating the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Beyond that also, praying in tongues also activates the dunamis power. When Jesus told his disciples, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's Acts 1 verse 8. As you pray in tongues, what you do, it's like you are charging your battery. When it says edification, you're building up your spirit, it's you're charging up your spiritual battery until you become full. And now when you're full, then you are ready to now go and perform the work. When your battery is full, you can do the work. But then when your battery is drained, you need to recharge yourself. So when you pray in tongues, you re-energize yourself and you rebuild yourself. You charge your battery. So remember, praying in tongues is an act of the will by which you make a choice to pray in tongues. Remember, it is a faith action. It is foolishness to the outward world. It is foolishness to your mind. Your mind is unfruitful. But when you pray, you're speaking directly to God. You're building up yourself in the most holy faith. And yet, there is a wisdom to it. In fact, verse 39 of the same chapter 14, it says, therefore, brethren, earnestly desire to prophesy and do not forbid to speak in tongues. So we must not forbid people from speaking in tongues. And if you read the scripture, you will see the various aspects. Acts chapter 2, where they were speaking in tongues. Acts chapter 8, where the Holy Spirit was given to the believers in Samaria, where the apostles came and laid their hands. You can see of Acts chapter 9, verse 10, and verse 17, where, you know, Ananias comes and prays for Paul, and he tells him, receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so he's filled with the Holy Spirit. We see the house of Cornelius, Acts chapter 10, 44. The Bible tells them that as Peter was speaking the word of God to them, the Holy Spirit came upon all that were there, and they began to speak in tongues and glorifying God. So the Holy Spirit was also poured on the Gentiles the same way it was poured upon for the Jews in the Acts chapter 2. Then you also go, you know, even all this span up to even 15 years later, then you go to Acts chapter 19, where Paul goes to Ephesus and he meets these believers who have never heard about the Holy Spirit. He lays hands on them and they are filled with the Holy Spirit and they speak with other tongues. So speaking with tongues is something that did not just end with the early church. It's something that persisted and is continuing today. Even nowadays today, we've seen the Azusa revival where people started speaking in tongues. Even today in churches, in our lives, when you yield yourself to God, God is able to fill you with the Holy Spirit and you can speak in tongues. You pray in tongues. It is a faith action. You do it and God allows you to do it. So now, as you understand that, then now we come back to what it says, praying in the Spirit. So when you have the faith that you're praying in the Spirit, when you have the faith that you're praying to God, when you have the faith that God is hearing you, no one is understanding it but you, but you're building up yourself in the most holy faith. Remember, now you are waging warfare. Now, that means that even as you pray in tongues, you will realize that your tongues change. Why? Because as your tongues change, you are fighting different things in the Spirit. There's a tongue that you will pray when you're just communing with God. It's calm when you're just receiving from God the revelation. It flows smoothly. But then there's a time where God wants you to contend with something. And that is where you'll find that it's like your tongues are fighting. They're warfare. And you're fighting. And you know by that time you're giving commands to angels in the Spirit. And you're breaking things. There's also a time where you find that you're even groaning in the Spirit. And you find that there's just a vibration within you. You have no words for it. But you see, when that happens, it is the experience of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where it says, verse 2, where it says that we groan that we may be clothed. At that moment, God is clothing you with a garment from on high. That is a spiritual garment that God is giving you, a mantle to do something. You are being clothed that you may not be found naked. So there are various things that happen in the Spirit. As you pray in the Spirit, what God is saying that all these are what you're being called. And he says, beyond you praying in the Spirit, be watchful. That means that take your watches, open your eyes, see what God is doing. Be patient, pray in the Spirit, pray for the saints, pray for all the saints, pray for the church, and also pray for Paul, pray for the ministers of God, that as they speak the word of God, utterance may be given to them. The people who went for prayer for speaking in tongues, and they prayed in tongues, and it happened, they were excited, but then they went back to their houses and they expected God to pray in tongues for them, and it did not happen. But I tell you, if you had that experience, that ability is still with you. All you do, just pray, speak in tongues. It's an action of the faith. You will find that God will give you the utterance. God will give you the words. God will give you the vocabulary. He will increase you in vocabulary. The more you do it, the more you charge yourself, the more you build up yourself in the most holy faith, the more you wage warfare for the kingdom of God. I'll stop here and I pray that God will give us more insight into this and may God give you understanding. Amen. Okay, I think if no reflections on your side, we can pray. Let us pray. Heavenly Father and Lord, I thank you, I praise you, I give you glory. I thank you for your word, I thank you for truth, I thank you for revelation. Thank you for your children that have humbled themselves to hear, and for those that have desired to receive this gift of speaking in tongues, that Lord, you release it in their lives. May they believe it. May they receive the wisdom for it. May they open their mouths and speak, pray in tongues. Have the faith and confidence that you're hearing them. Because no one speaking by the Spirit can say, Jesus be accursed. They are speaking to God. They are speaking to you. And for everyone that is in new levels, we pray fresh tongues upon them. Fresh revelations, fresh insight, O God. The outpouring of your Spirit upon lives, upon blessings, upon grace. And I thank you for the saints all over the world. The Lord, may they hear the word. May they know the truth. May they be guided by you. to accomplish and to be faithful in the fulfillment of the grace of God upon their lives. Thank you for your answered prayers. Thank you that you are with us each and every moment. Thank you for your touch, for those that need healing, that they have received it, for those that need an answer, a breakthrough, that, Lord, you've made it all possible. I thank you and I honor you. I pray all this in Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Shalom and blessed day. Thank you. Bye-bye.